my mother, and so her name is Carol. She's I've been blessed to have her all my life as my mother. And you know, we're so spoiled and we're so blessed. You know, as a family, I shared with my family a few weeks ago. My mom gave her heart to the Lord at a young age and then went into YWAM, into Cyprus, and just served the Lord ever since then. And God has done phenomenal things through my parents' lives. My father's preaching at the church, the barn in Boskran at the moment, and she's come to share with us this morning. And I want to just say, my parents, I mean, we're so blessed with such good leadership, from my parents to many of our pastors over the barn churches. And I truly honor my mom and my dad. They are, I want to say, legends in the faith because of their service to the Lord. Let me tell you, we've been through painful things in our lives as a family. Church splits, heartbreaking stuff. But my mom and my dad have never turned their back on the Lord. And that has created just an example for us and for our kids to follow and their generations to follow what it is to serve the Lord with all their hearts. Beautiful. Through the worst of worst times, through poverty, through lack, they've been serving the Lord with everything. And so may her words of just wisdom and her words just touch our hearts this morning. So Lord, we open up our hearts this morning to hear what you want to just share with us this morning, Lord. We want to glorify you, God. We want to live for you, Lord. We want to have a love affair with you, Lord God, that nothing would distract us or separate us from our walk with you, Jesus. You are the King of our lives, Jesus, and we want to serve you. We want to be the best disciples that we can be. And so, Lord, may you speak through her this morning, and may it just be a blessing to our hearts. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jared. I need to just tell you, yesterday, I didn't know I was going to be here today. Jared phoned Rulof at about what time? 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. And I hear him, Rulof had it on speakerphone, and I hear him say, "Dad, I need a preacher for today." So tongue in cheek, I said, "I can do it for you." And he says, "Please, Mom, will you come?" And I think, "Oh no." So I quickly ran upstairs and I tried to put some thoughts together. And I wanted to share a bit of my passion with you today. And I hope that you take it and receive it, and that the Lord will use it and use you. Okay. So, and I must just tell you, I didn't sleep last night. So you might fall asleep on your chair. I don't think I can sleep standing up. You know, I just want to tell you a little bit about Jared. When Jared was in about grade 1 or 2, you know how the kids come home with those little notes, little letters that they're learning to write? He came home with one and it had all sorts of things in it, but it said in it, "When I'm big, I want to be a pastor like my dad." And after that, after that, we had to, those days, Rulof wore ties, Colin tied to preach in. So we had to take one of Rulof's ties, cut it short. Do you remember, Jared? So Jared went to church every day with his tie on. It was too cute. Anyway, a bit about myself. I grew up in Durban. In a family that went to church faithfully and regularly, but I didn't know the Lord personally. And I grew up on the Bluff. Does anybody know the Bluff?
Yes!
Okay, you better shh. Because there's a saying in Durban, we are rough and tough, the scruff from the Bluff. And Rulof loves to say that I'm a My Fair Lady story, that he took me off the Bluff and he taught me to speak properly. So he teases me all the time. Anyway, after school, I did nursing. And then I went into missions for a good number of years and overseas. And then I came back and Rulof and I met. And after 3 years, we got married. And I must just say, my greatest joy now is not standing here and preaching. I say speaking, But my kids and my grandkids and Carter, when he was about 3 or 4 years old, said to me, "Granny, you're so lucky. We make your heart so happy." And it's true. My grandkids are everything to me. Anyway, I want to speak to you today about your purpose. Do you ever think about the purpose that God has for your life? The world tells us that to be successful, have a good job, a business, have cars and a nice house, that's going to make you happy. But I want to say the focus is not, should not be all about ourselves. We need to put our focus on God. And a few of the testimonies that people have said now, even today, no less than different ones, we've got to think about eternity. This life goes so quickly. And it doesn't matter what stuff you've got. You're not going to take it with you like Pharaoh. I thought about Pharaoh. He loaded everything up and it went underground. We don't live like that. When we die here, what we have gained is only what God has given us in the spirit. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 and 7, it says, "What good is it for a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul?" And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and then all these things will be added to you." But our focus is on God. You know, Time magazine put an article together a few years back. And they spoke about a couple who had worked and done all this amazing stuff, but then were so keen to just retire early and go and pick up shells on the beach. And I thought, is that really what life is about? To retire early and pick up shells on the beach. Do we ever wonder what is God's plan and purpose for our lives? There's a very good book that a guy, John Piper, wrote. And it's called Don't Waste Your Life. It really impacted me, and I've spoken another message from that book just because to me it's so amazing. He says his dad was also a pastor, and he remembers as a young person seeing an old man in front. And this old man never ever followed God, but right at the end of his life, he turned his life over to God, and he was sobbing in the front and saying, "I've wasted it, I've wasted it." And I just think our lives go like this. Before we know it, Jared, I was very young just a couple of days ago. And I don't want to get to the end of my life and feel I've wasted it. It really spoke to me. And I just feel we don't want to get distracted by the things of the world and forget that this life is all just preparation for eternity. So remember, your life passes by quickly. Don't mess around. Don't be distracted. Don't live for today. Live for eternity. So I keep saying, wanting to say, do you ever think about your purpose? We hear about the plans of God. Do you know, in Acts 13, verse 22, it says, God says of David, "I have found him a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do." In the Amplified, it says, "He will carry out my program and my will." Do you know, and can God say that about you? There's a poem written by a guy, C.T. Studd. He lived in the late 1800s. He died in 1931. He was actually a very good cricketer in England. But he felt the call of God in his life, and he went and he served as a missionary in Asia, India, and Africa. And he wrote this amazing poem. I want to just read you the verse. It says, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy and sorrow thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whatever the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life will soon be passed. only what is done for Christ will last. I know they make these little embroidered pictures with it and people have it hanging in their home, but I think it's such an amazing thought. I grew up in a church. I grew up in a family going to church regularly. I was an altar server, a youth leader, and so I was really very involved. But God was always somewhere out there. And in my last year at school, a new friend came, and I often refer to her, Sheena, and I could see that her life was different, and that I could see she was like a different Christian. I didn't know what it was. But she took me to her church, and I heard the gospel for the first time. And I came to know the Lord similar to Sam. Actually, a guy thought he's taking me on a date, and he said, shall we go to this coffee bar? He wants to tape music. So I said, yeah, okay. And off we went to the coffee bar, and he said, shall we pray together? And I thought, oh, flip, I've never prayed with anybody. I wouldn't know what to do now. And so we knelt in the passage, and it was just like the Holy Spirit hit me and the love of God. And I just wept and wept and wept. And I remember seeing this guy's eyebrows like, what the heck is going on here? But that's when I came to know the Lord. And my life was never the same. So I'm so grateful to my friends and to my friends who reached out to me and brought me to church where I could find the Lord. It seemed like after that, colors were brighter, like the light had been switched on in my life. And I couldn't help to share my faith with people around me. In Galatians 2, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's our new life in Christ. And if you haven't got it yet, you need to turn your life over to God. Jesus died for your sins, died to save you, to bring you back into right relationship. I would like you to turn on your phones. I don't know if you find it in your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is scripture I heard when I was about 18. I just come to know the Lord. And it made such an impression on me. And it's kind of been my life scriptures. So I would like to read it to you. Who's got their Bible here?
Yeah.
Can you put your hands up? I know you all have it on your phone. I like it like this. The old-fashioned way. Anyway, I'm going to read it to you. It says, you can see it on the board. Why I want you to know it, I want you to find it, because to me, it's such an impactful scripture. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay, will you go home and meditate on it? From verse 17 to 22, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us this message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were imploring you, be reconciled back to God. So, God's purpose for you is three things in the scripture. You can call it up if you want to. We've been given a mission, that is to reach out to those around us. We've been given a ministry to reconcile people back to God. That is your purpose. That is the plan God has for your life. And the message is that God does not hold sin against us. It's God's desire that people come to know him. Do you know one of Rudolph's cousins? She came to church about three times. She had been married and divorced a couple of times, and she lived quite a wayward life. Her family said that they were atheists, and so she knew nothing about church, but when she would sit there and hear the preaching, she would just cry. And she was a bit embarrassed about crying all the time, but it was the Spirit of God reaching out to her. But she would say to us, but I'm not good. I'm not good like you. And, you know, like you just kind of say, can you not get this into your spirit, into your heart? God loves you just the way that you are. God accepts us. He forgives us. He cleanses us. And he wants us to do the same with those around. Sadly, she is still not following the Lord. And I think we miss out so much when you realize how much God wants to look after us. And even those scriptures you refer to as the blessings that God wants to give us, if we will just turn our lives over to him and let him lead and guide us. Two scriptures, Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's God's gift to us. And Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are promises that God gives us. I know that often when we first come to know the Lord, we kind of doubt it all the time. But Jesus has died for us. It's done. It's finished. And we need to just receive that in our hearts. You know, I hated doing speeches at school. I was so nervous and shy. I'm sure we all know the feeling that you don't want to stand up there in front of anyone. But now I take Psalm 183, verse 3. It says, the Lord has made me bold and stout-hearted. So, you know, I don't want to let fear and anxiety, although I must say I didn't sleep very well last night. But God has given us a purpose and he's given us a message and he wants to use us. So I claim this, that he makes me bold and stout-hearted to reach out. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God wants to use each one of us to reach out to those friends that you come in contact with your family that don't know you. And I must just say, when I first got saved, I used to Bible punch everyone. You know what Bible punch is? Like really be obnoxious. My sisters, when their friends would come around, I would sort of corner my sister's friends and say, you need to turn your life over to God or else you're going to go to hell. I really gave them a hard time. So I actually had to go away. I went to this organization called Youth with a Mission, learned a bit about friendship evangelism, just loving people and sharing in a natural way to get them to come to know the Lord, not Bible punch them. But one of our friends back at church, he's been with us for years. He once said, oh no, I'll just live right so that people can see that I'm a Christian. Well, I think Jesus lived perfectly and he didn't keep quiet. He shared the kingdom of God. He shared salvation with people that he came into contact with. So my challenge is to you to trust the Holy Spirit in you. And to reach out. When you feel like a prompting, reach out to people around you and share Jesus with them. Don't let the fear keep you from sharing. Another scripture that I use to do something like this, and for you as well in your situation, and I've shared it with a few of our preachers as well before they preach, and because you do get nervous, is 1 John 2 verse 20. It says, but you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit that permanently resides in you. So instead of saying, oh, Lord, help me. I'm so nervous. Even in your workplace, I'm so nervous. Lord, help me. Just say, thank you, Lord, for your anointing that permanently resides in me. And go for it. And trust God. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
I just saw this example and I thought about it. You know, imagine you're having a picnic at a river and you see this person come down on a little tube and they're floating along and just enjoying themselves. But the river bends and around the bend there are rapids and then this big waterfall and a few people have drowned there before. What would you do? Would you shout out and say, hey, come back, don't go. You know, and that's a calling that God has on us. We've got to reach out to the lost and bring them in. And if you don't know what to say, you could say, I don't know what to say, but just come to church. Come with me, you know, like, and let's see what God can do with you and through you. So today, in closing, Jared, aren't I quick? in closing, I want to remind you that God has got a purpose and a plan for each one of your lives. Don't get distracted by what the world tries to tell you. In Mark 4, it talks about the parable of the sower and how the wealth and the deceitfulness of wealth and riches and whatever takes people away or stops the word from working in their lives. So let God have his way in your life and keep your focus on him and what he wants for your life. Don't be like the old man that wasted his life, wait until the end to start serving God. Remember C.T. Studd's poem, "Only One Life, and it'll soon be gone." Mm. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen.
Amen.
I want you to just think about people that you come in contact with that you know need the Lord. And let's trust the Lord. I'm going to close in prayer. Let's trust the Lord to use you to reach out to them in some way so that next week you come back with testimonies and share what God has done and how he's used you. Okay. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this church, Lord. You're doing amazing things here. Thank you for each person here, Lord. And Father, you know who you lay on our hearts to reach out to. And Father, I pray that this week even, as we commit them to you, we pray that you would give us those special opportunities to just share something, even if it's just small, just love or coffee or whatever, Father. I pray that you would use us to draw people back to yourself. Help us to live effective lives for you, Lord, so that we bring you glory and honor in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.